Then crash whenever you're ready.
I have pressed the button.
Not the button.
The button.
Well, a button. It is one of many. This is my button. There are many like it, but this one is mine.
I was going to say.
Good evening and welcome. My name is Ellie, and I'm joined by Beth, Crash, Io, and Jen to play some Cypher System. But before we start, one of the players would like to make a dedication.
Io, do you want to?
I don't know if I can get through it without crying.
We lost our 19, well, she was probably 20, but she was with us for 19 years, one of our cats, and 19 years is a long time, and cancer is terrible.
Her name was Frisky, and she was probably a ragdoll, and she had so many problems, and none of them could take her out until she developed an entirely new problem. And even that took her out because of the pressure the fluid was putting on her lungs, not the thing itself.
Yeah, she was allergic to her own dental plaque, so she had to have all her teeth pulled. And we waited a long time on that because she also had a heart murmur, and the vet was worried that she wouldn't come out from under the anesthetic and was giving her like 50-50 odds, I think. And she pulled through just fine there. And she had kidney problems. One of her kidneys was a little shriveled raisin and the other one was not working very well. So we were giving her subcutaneous fluids. And at one point she was seemed to be failing and not wanting to eat. And it turned out she had a UTI. So she, with antibiotics and all that, she was doing fine. She had arthritis, so she was getting an arthritis shot, and she was getting a buprenorphine ear rub, and she had an ear rub so she'd have an appetite better, and she was just puttering around, and then she wasn't eating, and it was because she had too much pressure on her lungs, and respiratory failure is terrible, so, well, we had to. But she was here for 19 years, and we've only been in this house for 24, so it's just wrong without her.
She was such a good pet.
Mm-hmm.
Hug your pets, folks. And if you don't have a pet, hug someone else's.
Yeah.
And if you're allergic, then hug a lizard.
Or hug a plushie.
No, not that lizard. The other lizard. That's an alligator. Put that back.
Choose fewer alligators. While we're talking about pets,
I do have to say, spay and neuter your pets, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, we got Frisky as an unwed mother of six. And two of them went to other people, and we kept one. And two of them, along with an extremely hefty donation, went to the Humane Society, and we think maybe we found where they got adopted once upon a time, but, well, please spay and neuter. It help extends their lifespan, too. So, anyway, I will stop crying
do,
now.
Do spay and neuter, because you never know.
There are some cats who, in fact, require that. I've heard of some.
So.
On a happier topic. Give the intro, Ellie.
The sun has set on the Tower of the Unknown Wizard, and the four are once more alone. It seemed like they might have a chance. Outside the tower, Adelina, Carisinda, Devon, and Old Rob found two Oogogs playing among a set of barrows that were once tombs. Taking the Oogogs by surprise, they convinced one they were friendly, while Old Rob entranced the other with his seemingly endless ability to spin tales and churn out anecdotes. The first explained that the Oogogs had made their way to the tower and also to the towns Dunmarch and Revelton by way of tunnels they'd carved. They showed off one such tunnel, proudly announcing that they'd placed some of the stones that held it in place. And while Carisinda held its attention, Devon and Adelina began to explore. Adelina found a stasis chamber built into the barrow, filled with some of the townspeople from Dunmarch, each frozen in a state of panic, unable to move, act, or even think. Devon, meanwhile, found Jim, a human who claimed to be from one of the Outer Ring towns, but who was clearly not what he seemed. While the other three went to find the other townspeople, also in stasis in other rooms in the Barrow complex, Devon tried to lead Jim to safety. But once he'd gathered all the information he wanted from the group, he revealed himself. Old Rob had known since he'd seen the man, and Devon knew something was wrong, as Iago, a member of the Sky species who had somehow survived all this time. Iago sent the Ugogs, who were under his thrall, away down the tunnels and boasted of his plan to reconquer Dunport and Dunmere, which he claimed were ancient Sky land. Devon's anger led him to the first attack of the game. A stone dropped from the ceiling that did a surprising amount of damage, and Adelina followed up with a hammer strike, and Iago, seething and hurt, started his plan early and scattered the trapped townspeople back in time. Then he pulled his dignity back around him and teleported away, after mentioning that he'd give the party's regard to the queen. The group has now retreated to the tower, where they sit among the books and flickering mage lights and plan their next move. The name of the place, still, is the Tower of the Unknown Wizard. This is Plus Ultra. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
Mm-mm. I think that covers it.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some details I left out, but...
Yeah.
Yes, but let's not give a full transcript of the last session at the start of this session.
It'll take forever.
If you want the details, faithful listeners, you can listen to the previous session.
Uh-huh. Excelsior!
Mm-hmm. So...
Okay. If I remember correctly, we were choosing to split the party at the end of last session because we cannot have nice things. Karasinda and Adelina were going to go outside and look for things that we could eat without, you know, puking our guts out.
Uh-huh.
And Devon and Old Rob were going to sort through the library to find more stuff. Maybe we'll find... who the unknown wizard was. I wonder if they're related to the unknown comic. We'll just have to find any portraits of the unknown wizard and see if there's a paper bag on their head. I am so
no, that would be Chuck Tingle's
reference.
But it would be Chuck Tingle. Sorry.
That's a different reference entirely from what I'm going at. I was going for Gong Show.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Sorry. I'm more modern here.
Okay.
I'm younger than you.
Sorry?
I'm sorry, I meant you're the same age!
Whippersnapper.
One thing Beth will update is her cultural references.
Inspiration!
Okay, I know you just said it, but remind me what Old Rob and Devon are doing inside the tower.
Sorting.
We are... Yes, we are going and making a better search of the place, attempting to catalog the books out of piles and into something vaguely resembling a proper order, and probably heading up that last staircase, if it does go anywhere, to look for more
tower.
More tower.
I think that it had a lot of rock. There's a rock fall in front of it or right inside it or something.
Yeah.
Possibly we will not find more tower, but in fact find more sky. Or more sky. But one of those is more likely.
I hope we don't
Yeah. Yeah. The ceiling of this level has held, but the stairway has collapsed in on itself.
From the outside,
there isn't anywhere to go up here. You can tell from the outside of the tower, this is as high as it goes.
So no bedrooms.
No. There are, like, in some of the... If you open some of the crates, you will find, like, bedrolls and stuff.
We also have our camping
gear.
That's
something.
You do.
Oh, the crates are real.
Yes.
In that case, we shall also search those.
This crate told me it's definitely not a mimic.
It's a mimic. That one of your weird stories again?
All my stories are weird. So what makes them interesting? Anyway, let's get back to sorting these books. This one is red, and this one is red, and this... Were these sorted by color?
One hopes not.
The barrels... The crates and barrels have various housewares in them. No.
Thank you for going there before I did.
Take me a minute.
It's just an assortment of, like, stuff. Like, it was like someone had been packing up. One of the barrels contains bricks of something soft. Like, not soft, but, like, you could pinch it off with your fingers. And it's in a, it's like the color of sourdough bread. And there are a couple of dozen of those in the barrel. Actually, most of the other barrels are empty, but, it's looks clay. Like...
It's modeling clay! No.
The impression you get from the crates is that someone was packing up in a hurry.
The impression we're getting from the books here is that somebody didn't really pack up or put away.
Yeah, the books are kind of a mess, although you have done some... It doesn't look like this anymore because the four of you did some organizational work the first time you were in here. Yeah, it seems like this tower has... Whoever was in the tower was preparing to abandon it. And I'm not going to require a roll to guess that they were moving from top to bottom. So the crates are in sort of like a... They're moving the stuff from the upper levels down into the crates. Oh. It's possible that there would have been beds upstairs, because those would have been a pain to carry down those staircases.
I suppose the question is whether they were using this as a staging area, that they were planning on carrying them further down to leave, and they were just sort of packing and moving level by level as they went, or if they meant to stop at this level.
There's no way to know.
Well, that's unhelpful of them not to leave a magic gizmo saying what they were doing.
Well, if you're packing in a hurry, are you going to leave a note saying, "Don't mind the mess. We are packing to leave in a hurry. Here is our entire thought process for how we are doing this. We will leave this on one of the floors that will not fall to ruin in the next 500 years.
Well, maybe. They do that in some of your weird old stories. They write out a note about why they're out in the wilderness being killed by some wolf or other.
They only do that in 3 of my stories. 3.5.
Uh-huh.
Look at this note. It says, "I believe that my life is in danger. Arg." It says arg. Yeah, right there.
Why would they write arg? Wouldn't they just say arg? Maybe they're dictating.
You would think. Magic pens.
Adelina and Karasinda, I'm not going to require a roll to... Like, there's stuff around here you can eat.
Okay.
Also, Karasinda has a talent for that.
Yes. And which is why I'm not going to make you roll for it.
An ability, that's the word. Living off the land.
The closer you get to that forest over there... The weirder the stuff gets.
We're like on the edge of magic territory.
Well, take it with a grain of salt, but actually, you weren't there when he said this. But Jim did, or Iago did call it the fairy forest.
Plausible. Do we know it roughly from anything we might have seen at the academy? Where we are relative to where the magic is?
Oh, yeah. You are, if you go around the forest, maybe half a day's walk from one of the... So you remember how there are currently 3 rings of towns going outward from Dunport?
Uh-huh.
And the outermost ring is... within a few minutes walk of the magic. It is, those towns are very small, and they're basically, you know, a couple guys have set up shop here to provide supplies to the adventurers who are going into the magic to see what they can find. Calling it a town would be generous.
Way station.
The middle ring is somewhat more established, but not as established as Dunmarch and Revelton were. So you are probably about, if you don't take the road straight through, and assuming that the road, if you took the road straight through and went through the forest, and assuming that the fairy forest is just a name for the place, it would take you about 2 hours to get to the middle ring. Going around the forest is probably more like 4 to 5.
So the fairy forest is between outer and middle, theoretically.
It's between middle and inner.
Middle and inner. Middle and inner.
Yes. Oh, yes, you are within the inner ring.
That's the one closest to the...
Sorry, you are within the middle ring.
Okay. The inner ring is the one that has the city in it, within it, right?
Yes.
So and that's the second. And the middle ring is the one that...
A while ago.
You're giving us a map? Something so we are not actually on the border of magic, or even close to it?
No, not really.
What the griff? Sorry. What the heck? This forest has weird stuff in it still. Some kind of pocket of magic? Is that where that person's been living here, maybe?
It seems possible.
And there's obviously still magic in the tower here. Obviously.
Yes.
Maybe there's more of that weird magic shieldy thing in the forest?
I don't know.
Hmm.
We can go check.
Probably going to have to tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that my dark sight cipher should be getting archived now.
It hasn't been 5 hours yet, so.
Ah.
So you're going to spend it all reading, aren't you? Mm-hmm. In the dark.
No, we've got lamps that do not explode, so far as we know.
They better not. It's just been a terrible few days.
Yeah.
And that would just put the capper on the lot of them.
It would damage the book.
Exactly.
Makes me think about that.
And us.
That rolled through that, what was it, 20 years ago? Big old, I think they called it a nor'easter.
I
don't know why they called it that. But it came through.
Yeah.
Then, a few houses over.
Because it came from the nor'east, of course.
Yeah, well, I guess so. I didn't have a compass. It felt like the wind was blowing in every direction. Anyway, made a big old mess in a lot of homes.
All the plans
were mixed together. We had to go and find the monograms on them, and there were still a few fights. And this, I'm using my...
I was there, Rob. I was there.
Rob is simultaneously agreeing with the points you're making and calling you wrong. Because he's not letting truth get in the way of good
stuff. I'm going
to...
Come on, let's go close up the front doors. I don't want things getting in.
While you're doing that, he's using his anecdote ability, talking about sorting a huge mess to hopefully give us an asset on sorting this huge mess of books and possibly other artifacts.
Garisenda is going to ignore the actual helpful anecdote. Go down and make sure we want to close these while we're inside. Figure out if we can get out again. Actually, Devin.
Yes?
You're the one who's got the thing that opens and closes these, right?
Yes.
And it's little blows things up. I'm going to take one of the lamps. Karasinda's going to take a lamp, one of the magic lamps, and she wants to, like, have somebody with the magic lamp try to use that to open the doors, and also she wants to close the doors from inside and see if she can open them again while having Devin on the outside with the thing that definitely opens the doors, the front doors.
A genie pops out of the lamp.
I'm not rubbing that thing. I am not knocking on the lamp. I'm just carrying it. And probably handing it to Adelina.
Oh, all right. Sure. I'll go with.
You should probably see if that will open it from the outside, too.
Okay. Well, I think I opened the door from the outside, so it might work.
You touched it, it didn't zap you. I think it was Devin who actually opened the thing, but that was because he was holding the he was holding the gizmo.
Hmm. All right. Yeah. That's right.
But didn't zap you.
No.
Which is also fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably because the person who convinced this tower to behave like that's a was a full-blooded Felta.
Could be.
Anyway, we want to. Karasinda wants to see if we can safely close the doors from the inside and open them again, or if the only way to open doors involves having the gizmo that Devin has. And also if you can use those lamps as gizmos to open the doors.
Okay.
Yeah, let's give it a try.
Which are you trying first?
First of all, want to see if she wants to see with Devin and Adeline on the outside, if she can close the doors and then open them again from the inside without any gizmos.
Okay.
Okay. If I'm understanding you right, then no, Adelina cannot open the door without a gizmo.
Okay.
Well, Karasinda on the wants to close the doors from the inside and see if she, Karasinda, can open the doors from the inside.
Oh, anybody can open the doors from the inside.
Okay, so open and close them. All right. The next question is, can Adelina, with one of the lamps, open the doors? Use the lamp as a key, the way that Devin was using the gizmo as a key.
From the inside or outside?
From the outside.
Okay, so I'll take a little lamp and I'll go outside and put it next to the door, see what happens.
Okay. The door opens.
Oh, wow.
The lamps are keys.
Yeah. Neat.
Good. Are there enough lamps that we can all have a lamp to use as a key to this place?
Indeed, there are.
Oh, good. One of those lamps is going to go in Karasinda's pocket.
Okay.
I hope that this counts as equipment that she can put in her pocket.
Yes.
I'm going to create an item.
My lamp just has these little blobs that go up and down and up and down.
Maybe it shouldn't be doing that.
Kind of fun to watch.
Hmm.
Get up there. Okay, so I've pasted a map in chat.
Oh. Okay. Oh.
I hope that helps.
Oh, excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tower, Forest, Dunmarch, Revelton, question mark.
Yeah, there was never a town down on that last ray.
Okay.
It's not really clear why.
Hmm. All right.
Well, I'm not going to walk over to it and find out just today.
It'd be a long walk.
It'd be a long walk.
Mm-hmm.
Old Rob is continuing to
sort. So are we leaving the tower to go?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
While you were playing with doors, Old Rob was sorting the books, but it's possible that the subjects that Old Rob is sorting them by don't necessarily align with how Devin wants them sorted. It's not that he's trying to do it wrong on purpose. If he was doing that, he'd be sorting them by color. And he's not a monster.
Right.
But, like, the Count of Monte Crisco, or whatever, the Count of Monte Crisco is a cooking guide, apparently. But whatever the book is actually called could be seen as, you know, practical knowledge. It's about escaping. That's useful. And vengeance, I guess, is kind of useful. So practical knowledge. I'll put this with the book on picking locks. And cooking. That's a practical knowledge book. That'll go there, too. All right. And haberdashery. Now, that'll go in practical knowledge. All right.
No.
And spinning.
We're all going in there.
I'm just going to say, if you subsort it, that's not the worst way to subsort it.
What we're going to do is we're going to assign every section a number.
Are there any little numbers already on these shelves?
Tell me more about this Devon decimal system.
Oh, I didn't invent it.
It's not the Devi decimal system?
No, someone invented it, a couple hundred years ago. It's okay. The Academy decimal system.
Okay, but do we or don't we decimal system?
We do, that's the point.
Okay.
Do we? Right.
Where's
are there already any little numbers on these here?
Anyone? No. I'll just put this over here on the to-be-sorted pile. Yeah. And if there aren't...
There are not little numbers on the bookcases.
There are not?
Pity.
Okay.
It seems like there might once have been. There are spots on the shelves that are weirdly less dusty than the rest of them. But...
Did these books, just trying to remember from when we came in as well, did they look like they'd all just fallen down out of the shelves because of whatever knocked the tower off? Or...
No, some of these books were in places that they could not possibly have fallen out of shelves from.
And...
Into.
And it wasn't like they were being sorted through and packed? I mean, did someone come back through here and loot things? If we put all these books back on the shelves, would there be gaps?
No, the shelves would in fact be overstuffed.
It's possible many of these books were pulled down from a higher floor.
That's true. But why would somebody have pried out the markers, unless they were valuable or something?
Oh, no, it's not pried out. It's like maybe there were stickers there. You don't know what a sticker is, but it doesn't look like... It looks like there was something adhered there that is no longer there.
A little bit of glue that fell off. Are there any labels down on the ground? Well, it's better biodegraded. Everything else would biodegrade, too.
Depends on what it's made of.
I'd like you to give me... I'd like... Anybody who's looking for these labels, I'd like you to give me a roll for searching...
You roll for searching.
And let me know if you have anything that will decrease the difficulty.
Does housekeeping do anything?
These books.
Housekeeping will.
Don't help.
That's true.
Also, I'm still identifying.
No, your anecdote right. will not help, but your see the unseen will.
Ooh.
Well, there are little objects in the dust on the floor.
I've got the housekeeping. Oops, that's not. I do not want to roll a d12. I want to roll a d20.
It's dust.
Oops, I rolled 2. They didn't work, though.
16.
Yeah, Adelina, unfortunately, you're not finding a whole lot.
No.
Rob and Karasinda, you do find some of these little stickers on the ground. But they're not tacky. They're, think like Dymo Labeler.
I lick one and put it against the shelf where a sticker used to be.
It falls back off.
I guess whatever they used to glue it down didn't work. What's it read? What's the little thing read? Devin, get over here and tell me what this reads.
I wipe my tongue off on my beard.
Devin, you don't need to roll. This is the Devin decimal system.
It's what the Academy used?
It's what the Academy uses. It's... I do not have the energy to make it up on the spot, but you recognize
that
it.
That is so fair.
It's a marker for a section of books.
So far as old Rob is concerned, because Devin's the one teaching us about it, it is the Devin decimal system.
This section would have been thaumaturgy, semicolon, or comma, wonderwork.
And what's it right next to?
It's the section on... Basically, doing little things that impress a lot of people.
Put that under politics.
Excuse me.
Gets in tight.
I think that does not go under politics.
Politics be a little more magical, yeah.
We need a Venn diagram decimal system.
I think that's where you write down that it is also found under such and such, and then you put that under the such and such, and... You have a little note in one place, and you have the real book in the main place. That's what I'd do.
Also, I need to draw everyone's attention to the cause and effect group chat.
Okay.
A low party quest, sort, catalog, and enumerate the count
of
Horus Horde.
No.
It's the count of Monte's Crisco.
No. I think it's hilarious, honestly.
Yes. Nevertheless... Fish.
Oh my.
Slash fish.
It is a shame that this recording will go live for non-patrons long after April 1st, or I would be reminding our listeners that they need to be paying attention to Ellie's Mastodon account, where the jokes will be innumerable. The jokes will blot out the sun. We will chuckle in the shade.
That's the vision. Every year, instead of playing pranks, I tell terrible jokes.
She writes terrible them all on great, paper though. Just so they will be.
Mm-hmm.
That is by
so
the way.
So you could tear them.
Yes.
Of course. Yep.
They're blah, terrible. Blah.
Yes.
I am going to throw fish.
I used that pun with my mom, talking about how, you know, I write a bunch of jokes on paper because they're terrible. And she said, oh. And then there was a pause. And she said,
"And then
oh."
And then she threw things at you.
No, we were at a restaurant.
This would not have stopped me from wadding up my napkin and throwing it at you, just so you know.
You don't understand. My family is very Lutheran.
Oh.
True. I'm a barbarian.
Oh. Oh, crash. Sorry.
Anyway, I don't want to say that I'm very stereotypical Lutheran, but I do spend about half an hour saying goodbye before I walk to my car and then say goodbye again.
Well, I mean, saying goodbye is hard.
That's just the routine.
I mean, logging off from your pocket friends is hard. Anyway, we should find some more of these little scraps of paper and figure out what kind of things were around this tower in general.
Working on it.
Yes. Yes, we should.
Are these books well preserved?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
I was a little worried when you talked about how the tower caved in for the staircase, but this one is dry, and this one is dry, and this one is dry. We are definitely in the rainforest.
The roof has held entirely, and the windows they're not glazed, but there's something there.
I ain't touching it. Don't want to pop it like a soap bubble.
They're not glazed. They have chocolate frosting on top.
I was waiting for that.
No gingerbread.
No chocolate frosting.
No chocolate frosting. No gingerbread. This tower better not be me gingerbread.
Well, you can chew on it if you want.
I ain't chewing on it. I'm just worried if it were made out of gingerbread, we'd get a bunch of little hooligans coming to eat our home, which this apparently is right now.
Do you think if it was made out of gingerbread, it would have been standing for 500 years?
Pretty stale gingerbread.
Very stale.
It's already magic, so what do you think, eh?
There's magic, and then there's magic. And I don't think anyone could convince gingerbread that it's stone. That'd be like convincing a concrete floor that it's dirt.
Well, it was one of the old wizards from before, so who knows what kind of reckless things they were doing. Probably not gingerbread, though. I don't think they were usually known for their baking skills.
Obligatory plug for the wizard's guide to self-defensive baking. T. Kingfisher. Sorry.
At least according to the old stories. Speaking of floors and stones and eating things, you haven't eaten anything for a while. And there is a stone floor downstairs and a well that has water in it.
Slightly dusty water, but I suppose if we stir it up a little, get the dust off or skim the dust off.
Yeah, might work.
See if we can set ourselves, make a little fire down there.
Well, old Rob does have 3 days of iron rations in his not an adventuring pack.
Karasinda went exploring for fresher food.
I brought 4 days of rations. Though, yes, let's supplement with forage as much as we can to make the reserved trail rations last.
I mean, because if winter comes along. Rations, but I got kind of peckish on the ride over here.
Well, let's save the rations.
There's also those bricks in the barrel that look kind of like bread.
I'll go over and pick one up. Whatever barrel it is.
It's one of the barrels.
It's one of the barrels. I'm thinking the one over here, like over past the blue rug. It's just one little barrel right there.
Yeah, that sounds fine to me.
Yeah.
Here, give it here. I've got a good strong stomach. I'll take a taste.
Is it open already, or is it not?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's open. I'm going to pull out a thing of bread and sniff it.
Is it dough, or is that clay, modeling clay?
I don't think it's clay.
It smells, yeah, it smells yeasty. It, not like, not bad yeasty, just...
Do we nibble it, or do we bake it?
It smells like the bakery at the end of the day.
Oh, okay.
Here, here.
I shall go ahead and take a nibble from it.
Okay.
For the sake of experimentation. And so we'll Devin also gets out his journal to sketch out what it is and its properties as far as he can tell and write down how it tastes.
It surprisingly tastes really good. Like, this is tasty stuff. And how long do you let the bite, like, it tastes good so you dig into it, or it tastes good so you let it sit for a second?
It tastes good, so I let it sit for a second.
Kerasinda?
Same. Take a nibble and you contemplate, because there's a mushrooms what tastes fine, and then there's just this thing that you don't like about them, so, you know, you gotta spit the things out. She's got living off the land. I figure she's, you know, resists natural poisons. I figure she's got some amount of, okay, you think about it for a while and you spit it out if it's bad.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You do not need to resist natural poisons. In fact, you realize after a minute or two that you are noticeably less hungry.
After one bite.
Lamb is bread.
Well, this stuff is pretty good.
Fascinating.
Doesn't seem.
You're not hungry, but you are less hungry.
I need to study this if I could figure out how to make it. Can you imagine what a leap forward for food storage that would be for being able to feed a much larger population? Maybe, well, obviously not on what one person could make.
Probably not, but fewer people. Depends on what goes into it. Depends on if it's the barrel that's keeping it fresh, too, or... If we leave this one out of the barrel, is it going to wither away and turn hard?
If I could learn how to make it, I could teach other people how to make it.
Maybe there's a book on bread baking around here.
Maybe there is.
Let's cover up the barrel and make sure the rest stays fresh.
I mean, obviously, if it's the old magic and dangerous, it's something not to do, but still...
Well, we don't know if
the bricks are individually wrapped in wax paper.
Well, let's leave this brick up on top of the barrel and close up the barrel and see how it goes. And also, Kerasinda foraged up some food, and we better eat this food because it'll go bad. We know it'll go bad eventually. Yes. So,
okay.
Eat up the forage stuff first.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And everybody can have a nibble of bread who wants it.
Devin, you did find pots and pans in one of these crates. And
fascinating.
There's a stone floor downstairs. There's wood outside for you to gather if you want it.
Not sure we want to build a fire. My magic
training tier 1 ability says that after you are trained in the basics of magic, including the operation of magic artifacts and ciphers, and can attempt to understand and identify its properties. So I want to start doing research.
Okie dokie.
I'm going to suggest we might make our fire on the front step out there so we don't get smoke coming up into the place where we might want to be sleeping with the books.
Well, that's a fair count.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Either that or at the top of this stairwell, since it's going to be going up into the sky. We could make it a very large chimney.
That was my next thought. Yeah, good point. If we could clear out enough stone on the stairway going up, the one that there's no up anymore, and make a fire in there for cooking.
Well.
Clear away the books from it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you could do that.
Yeah, I can move bricks, no problem.
Gonna ask you to move the stone. Yeah. All the rocks came falling in.
Right, yeah, I'll just move them out of the way. No problem.
I assume that there are enough chinks in the rocks that fell into the central stairwell that.
Yeah, it takes about 15 minutes, but you can do it.
Okay, I'll go start hauling rocks.
I'm not going to make you roll or anything.
This is
a fairly trivial task.
Right. And Adelina is strong, so this is not a hardship for her.
Oh, yeah. No. Between your skills and your abilities, and you're fine. Mm-hmm.
Karasinda will stubbornly attempt to haul like one small rock at a time closer to the other stairway so that we could take them like down or build out a little hearth or something.
It's a good idea, too.
Rob, are you participating in this? Or are you still sorting books?
Well, they're finding things to keep busy, but old Rob isn't really good for heavy lifting, so instead he's going to be sorting the very large books.
Okay.
And occasionally sorting them the way Devin doesn't want them sorted, but he figures that gives Devin something to do.
You do find at the bottom of a pile an extraordinarily large book. Like, there are books, and then there are books that Devin reads, and then there's this.
And it's titled, Somebody on the Internet is Wrong.
I'm trying... Yes. this is...
By Harp.
Karasinda and Devin individually would not be able to lift this. Or would struggle to lift this. Karasinda and Devin together would have an easier time. Rob, I know you don't like to make a big deal about it, but with your... strength of 13, I'm not going to ask you to roll to lift this. There's a desk nearby that you can set it down on.
I look around to see if anyone's paying attention before I make sounds of struggling to move the book.
I think people are mostly focused. Devin is focused on research. Adelina and Karasinda are mostly focused on moving rocks.
Then I don't make any sounds of effort. I just move the book.
you're the kid who hurts themselves and then goes to find an adult before they start crying.
Priorities. You don't want to waste those tears.
Exactly.
Also, old Rob spent 40 years not doing any work whatsoever and trying very hard to make people believe he was incapable of doing any work, or they would ask him to do work.
Yeah. It's a fair cop. Mm-hmm. The book has... it's hard to describe. There isn't anything on the front cover, and on the spine is just a circle with kind of a distorted butterfly shape on it.
Is it green?
No.
I like how there was a gold. Long pause before you said no.
I was trying to figure out what color it actually was before I realized what you were talking about. No, it's gold set in the leather. Do you set on the table and then abandon it, or do you look inside?
Well, a book that large, I'm clearly going to look inside.
Okay. You may want to call Devin over. They would be very interested in this.
Hey!
I'm sorry. I keep forgetting to...
That's fair. Confusing the players and the characters' pronouns is totally valid.
Yeah.
He will, in fact, come over.
Also, all the rest of your characters are they.
Not all.
Some are she.
Yeah, I've had a few she's.
And one or two. I think you've had one or two he's.
No, I haven't.
No? Okay.
And there's one character whose gender is yes.
That's also true. inside... The title page reads, An Atlas of the World.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This is...
A book. That's darned heavy.
An extraordinarily valuable book.
It should be. I think I strained my rutabaga putting it on here.
That's a plant.
Yeah, you ever have strained rutabaga? It's delicious. It is not delicious, by the way. It is very disgusting.
Also, rutabagas, aren't they like the leaf is mostly poison and you have to use only the stem?
I thought that was rhubarb.
Right, rhubarb. Rubagus. Rubabubble bubbles. One of them. That's right, rubagus or root or something. Teresinda knows, I don't.
Rhubarb is the stuff where you have to lock your cars when you go to church Sunday morning, because if you don't, you'll leave the service and find that a kindly neighbor has gifted you with extra rhubarb because they grew too much again this year.
I thought that was zucchinis and summer squash.
That too.
You cook those things with enough butter and salt and seasoning, and they're not actually bad. Nobody cooks them with enough butter and salt and seasoning.
Anyway, we have found an Atlas of the World that is incredibly large, and I'm assuming has pictures.
It does.
Can we find Dunport on it?
Just a second.
What good is this book? It hardly has any words. How are you going to tell a good story without any words?
It takes you some doing.
It takes you some doing.
But, so, I have pasted the map in chat.
Yep. It does, in fact, look like a sort of blurry butterfly there.
On the second image, I have outlined the known extent of Gunmere.
You've given that continent a nostril.
Yes.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
It looks like it's a
look to that. Look at that.
That's a lot of world. I wonder if there are any other pockets that the magic didn't go completely nuts and wipe everybody out.
Who's to say? I'm not going to go check.
Before we take a short break, there's a more interesting question you could ask.
Mm-hmm.
Is yours the only one?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And with that, we're going to take a short break.
All right.
We'll see you in a couple minutes.
Pause in the recording. Well, we'll see you in a couple minutes. The listener will see us instantly. See, I told you. It's been 87 years.
It has not. Instant.
Don't let the truth get in the way of it.
What are you talking about? This is definitely not the children of the original players continuing the game.
I should say not, whippersnappers.
Twice. We have younger Robert, old Rob, Robert's son, Junior the Third.
It's a dynasty. So yes, you are in the tower, you have eaten a meal, you have opened the atlas, and you have found the map of the world.
That's pretty big.
It's labeled in a language that none of you understand. This is to be expected because, well, it was written at least 500 years ago.
I put my hand on the book, we hear a vroom sound, and I'm in a world full of puzzles. Wait, wrong game.
Yes. But you have managed to identify the part of the world that is Dunmere. And that's that little tiny segment of the vast eastern of the pair of continents that are about 75% of the landmass of the world.
That's a lot of water. Look at all that water.
It is a lot of water.
I have to pee.
Okay, the next question is, I'll go outside to do it and take a lamp with you. We're going to need chamber pots in here sometime. Well, downstairs, I think. Okay, next question is, that's Dunport. That's where the magic didn't eat everybody. So what if there were other places where the magic didn't eat everybody?
It seems likely.
Didn't eat the Ugogs, although they are kind of... Are they magic or are they not magic?
I don't know.
Would I know the answer to that?
Ugogs are... No, you would not categorize Ugogs as magic. There may have been magic involved originally in their creation, but that's so far back in the mists of time that, as far as you know, they're natural creatures.
They're not inherently magic. Not
in the world.
Not that way. Not more inherently magic than I am, and maybe less.
So follow that there tunnel they made, and there might be another place that was a pocket that just didn't have humans or felt in it.
That's a perfectly fair guess.
If there are pockets that can be gotten to that,
they dug underground.
Yes.
If they weren't under the command of that, what was his name again? That weird fellow who was being horrible and sent everybody off some win.
Iago.
Yeah, him.
The red parrot guy.
No. You of all characters, Karasinda, would remember that.
She wasn't there. Well, she was there for the first part. That's true. Yeah, then she went up. Yeah, that Iago guy. If they weren't under his thrall, it'd be nice to have somebody who could go digging around under the magic woods and see things. That'd be a good alliance.
Wait. So the Oogogs weren't hit by the wild magic because they dug down?
Maybe. Or maybe they weren't hit by the wild magic because they just weren't, same as we weren't in Dunport. Well, and then they got here by digging. Yeah, they dug a long way.
There is a theory that population centers had some kind of vital force that pushed back the wild magic. But it had to be a lot of people all together.
There's a theory that where there were a lot of people, the magic was forced back or never got to come in.
Well, until half an hour ago, I'd have said, fat lot of good that theory does us. But, one, we got a map. Well, okay, we got lots of maps. Many, many maps. Way more maps than I want to deal with. Two, the Oogogs survived the wild magic and have a tunnel system.
Iago survived the wild magic too, or something.
Iago might have been hanging out somewhere disguised.
So how come there aren't all the other peoples in our area? Is it just because we were majority human in Felta and we only had visitors? Because population centers suddenly, with lots of people, suddenly became a lot fewer people after there wasn't enough cropland for them.
There's still places
to hide. Well, this is true. Dunport was fairly cosmopolitan.
So where'd all the others go? Just Vogue. Not enough of them to live through
it? I think I have an answer.
Down.
When? That was not the answer, but...
Up?
Do you think the others...
Diagonal.
Other sky tried to run into the past?
One, I think that's possible. Two, he claimed the land used to belong to him and his. While he was obviously not carrying on in any reasonable manner about it, that might not be inaccurate. Our ancestors might have taken it.
But that would have been even before.
Resentment lasts a long time. Generations.
Did these sky people trigger some kind of magical apocalypse trying to take the land away from humans and Felta? Is this all his fault?
That's jumping over several conclusions, I think.
It may be, but he sure did have a lot of resentment, and I sure would like to ask him some questions if he shows up again about that, just to see his face.
Or perhaps somebody thought they did.
You think they got it first because somebody thought that sky and non-humans, non-Felta caused it?
I don't think we can completely discount the possibility.
Question for the
GM. No, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already established that old Rob recognizes Sky from stories because of the last session. Am I correct in assuming that Sky are effectively elves?
They're drow.
Yeah. Okay.
They're freaking drow. Oh, no,
Sky are elves.
Mm-hmm.
They have a wide variety of skin tones.
Okay.
And
Iago happens to have a fairly dark skin tone. It is not black, but it's not... You'd have trouble seeing him in the shadows.
And because of the stories that old Rob knows, he would understand the stereotypes about elves.
Yes.
Okay. You know.
Give me just a second, actually, and I will find what I wrote about Sky so that I can tell you.
Depending on the genre and the lore book and the rule book for whatever system you're running, and even then it varies, how long do Sky tend to live? Like D&D,
not this long.
1,000 years is the max.
Yeah, no. Sky live longer than humans and Felta, but not this long.
Well, I haven't asked for a specific timeline. Just like, what's old for a Sky?
Put it this way. Average human life expectancy in this world is middle-aged for a Sky.
So possibly 2 centuries.
Yes.
So it's possible that while Iago wasn't around when the wild magic hit, Iago could have had a grandparent who was.
Yes.
That's not long enough to forget injustice.
That's way not long enough to forget injustice.
But it is long enough for stories to change.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, you don't even need a full generation for that.
Get somebody who's intent on making the story change. You can do it in a year, no doubt.
Bless. I feel called out.
Yeah, you should feel called out. Some of your stories change every night.
I'm improving them.
Are you... Rob, are you discussing this with the rest of the party?
I imagine that over the course of the evening, this is definitely something that Rob brings up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Devin, there's something that's been nagging at the back of your mind for a while.
It's a brain leech.
Yes. And
you finally realize what it is when Rob brings up that... Sky, relatively speaking, live a long time, which is that the castle at Dunport for most of the time since the war, Dunport Keep hasn't been occupied by living things because it's been haunted. And the ghosts are supposedly of the ruling family, or were supposedly of the ruling family at the time of the war. And the story goes that they died because of reprisal from a betrayal.
That we're recording.
And nobody
this
really
on
knows.
The 9th of March is so fitting.
Yeah.
Oh my. That's, yeah.
Nobody knows who they betrayed. Nobody knows what form that betrayal took. But that's the story that people tell. I am excited for you to find out the actual backstory of Dunport.
And then we never found it out.
Yes.
Look, there are secrets from the first session of the first Circulus campaign that are still relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Percy.
Just saying. I am also excited.
Crash, there's a video on Tumblr that's going on of the assassination of Julius Caesar that is, I think it's the same one as the one where the guy isn't, like, they've got guards at the entrance to the Senate to prevent anyone from bringing knives in, like sharp knives. And so it ends with the guy, like, having to use a plastic knife to put butter on his roll. While in the background, you hear the assassination of Caesar. But my favorite part is that you hear Caesar saying, and this is my favorite translation of that phrase, "Oh, not you too, Brutus."
Aww.
And things were going so well.
Anyway, they were. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a map and a history and some species knowledge and a ghost story. What are you up to? Adelina, in particular, what are you up to?
I want to see if I can talk to the ghosts if we get there and find one.
Okay.
I want to go spelunking.
Okay, you'll need a rock in a pond.
I think what we'll need is a lamp. I think what we need is a lamp and those tunnels and a good night's sleep first.
Oh,
you have plenty of magical lamps.
Oh, good.
I want to study the spread.
Okay, that's fair. There's plenty of it.
This spread. Okay, yes. Not the spread.
Oh. No.
Paris and work okay, really got hard it. To get all these things together. It's worth admiring for a little bit.
I don't think I've ever seen corn deviled eggs.
What? No, it's just corn that's possessed by the devil. It's slightly different.
Yes.
It's the whole wild magic thing. It's deviled corn.
That sounds not so edible.
Also, that deviled egg has just been on the windowsill for a very long time. Should I eat that?
No.
So, I have an important question to ask. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have two important questions to ask. First of all, this book is, the Atlas is a little smaller than 3 feet by 2 feet if it's closed. And maybe 4 inches thick. So first,
we're not.
Are you finding a way to take it with you?
Yes. Less less bread studying, more map copying.
Well, understood. Second question is, Carisinda, are you making a point to look through the Atlas?
Considering that I've got this thing about remembering thing or memorizing things that I experience. Well, book stuff is less useful according to this. I have to have more of a direct experience. But yes, focus through. Can she page through and find that section that's noted on our map?
Sure.
And just sort of remember, you know, just sort of run a finger. Okay, not going to actually touch the page on the who knows, it might flake off. That'd be terrible, Devin Killer.
White gloves first.
Yes, I might.
That's right. So I'm not going to actual touch it, but just, you know, trace rivers and lines and try to see if we can find a close-up of that area. And
in
then,
fact, you have, there is not only a close-up of that area, there's an entire page devoted to it, although you have to turn the book. And what you find is, I don't have an image for this, I apologize.
It's okay.
So you know that there is sea to the east of Dunport. Mm-hmm. There are mountains to the north and south. That's where, now that the magic has retreated, that's where the miners are starting to work. And they have found pre-existing mines that are filled with really interesting things. So, you know, it's slow going. What you find is that those mountains continue, and there is the magic will have to retreat about half again as far as it has already retreated before you will be able to find where those mountains curve around and meet. So what you have is basically it's not a loop. It's like if you were to draw a cross section of a sack, it's open at the sea end, the end that is against the sea. And then the mountains go around the edge of basically a bag shape.
So the whole Dunmarch, Dunport and associated area would be surrounded by mountains if the magic were retreated enough.
Right. And this is identified on the... this is... You still don't understand the language, but from the symbology, this is indicated as a single kingdom.
Makes sense.
There used to be passes to the north and south, and there used to be in the mountains around those passes, like settlements built, literally built into the mountains.
Settlements of what, though? That's the question.
You can't tell.
I know.
To the north, there's a desert, like a sandy desert. And to the south, there's a forest. The west is, as far as you can tell, just countryside.
Evan, you make sure to write down just a few words here and there on a blank piece of paper. We find that Iago fella, you show him those, and you ask him what those words are. Might startle him.
I shall do that, I think.
Unless we can get the drop on him and tie him up, and then we ask him what the words are. Because I would not be too surprised if maybe he could understand some of this stuff.
Yes,
he seems like a type.
Rather suspect that this kingdom may have been run by a Sky Royal family.
Or something. Or Sky Human Royal family or something like that. Next question is where Ugogs might be living, because they've been digging around. Clearly there's been Ugogs somewhere.
I know a tunnel. We can probably check after.
Yeah, there's a tunnel. Do you think the tunnel went straight?
No.
If the tunnels went straight from the direction that we saw, then and if this side is north and this side is south, where would the tunnels go to?
I don't know. That's why I want to go through the tunnel.
No, I want to trace. I want to look at it on the map and see which direction they might be headed.
Yes, that seems like.
Anyone got a compass?
Nope.
Sun goes down that place. It comes up this place. So
we're gonna be in a tunnel.
I'm just thinking if we can try and figure out approximately which way the tunnel was pointed to start with. But yeah, we need a compass if we're going to go in the tunnel.
What if we take some of these lights with us?
Definitely that. That way we can see a compass. We got a compass? Does pack have a compass in it?
Nope.
No, the pack does not have a compass in it.
Devin, can you figure out how to convince a bit of metal to point the right direction? We could tie a string around it.
Actually, Adelina, this is something that you're familiar with.
Yeah, I know how to do that.
Yeah, you would. That's right.
Not only because you're familiar with convincing metal to do things, mm-hmm. but because you're aware that heating up metal, in particular metals, not just any metal,
right,
does weird things. Like if you heat up something that can act as a compass, it does weird things to the compass.
So
you have learned how to determine from learning what to avoid. You have learned you've got a sort of idea of how this stuff works.
Okay. You've learned enough mm-hmm. ways of how to not do it to figure out how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So we're making a compass?
If you wouldn't mind.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. All right. I might need a forge for that.
Well, you don't have a forge, but you've got some, you've got a little bit of fire left from making dinner.
Right.
And you've got bits of metal that you can strip off. We've got various things around
to be an anvil.
You've got stone surfaces. You've got water that you can float it in from downstairs.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, I'm going to start grabbing pieces of metal that I think might be useful.
And then we'll go downstairs and make this is something that you don't even need to make a fire. You've still got a pretty hot fire in the because you built the fire in the. The central staircase that used to be a staircase.
Oh, okay.
To let the smoke go somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
So you can take a few minutes and put all the stuff together, and it's going to be something. It's going to be a task to find either a pin that you can suspend it on, or some. Something clear that you can cover the little disc with, so that the water doesn't slosh out.
Yeah, that's going to
find a
difficult.
Needle and
I can start
stack.
Working on the rest.
Yes,
could make something that you put on the end of a string and let it spin.
Oh. I'm finding Ooh. Nothing.
You are not finding anything, no. You are... That's not true. You find a great many things, and none of them are useful.
I store them away because they will probably be useful eventually. I'm not
Right? Beth and... Karasinda and Adelina, between an 18 and a 19, you successfully ignore old Rob's suggestions and build your compass.
Yeah.
Your loss.
You take a pointed bit of metal from, you know, something that's lying around.
Yeah.
Like there's something like that's a hairpin got a or a bobby pin,
and there's something.
Yeah. Right. There is a barrel that's got one too many nails in it. There is a tiny cup that has some wax in it that maybe used to be a votive candle.
Huh.
And you can pin the metal to the bottom of the little cup, and then you do finally find a telescope that has been destroyed. It's in pieces on the ground, but one of those pieces is an intact lens.
Oh, that's exactly what we need.
And you can set that into the top. And with the heat from the fire, Adelina, you know how to crimp the cup, the metal cup, so that it seals around the lens.
Yeah, exactly. You hold it out on something and then you... Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a handheld compass.
There we go. Ta-da!
Huh. That's magic.
I don't know if it's magic.
Draw circles also.
Different kind of compass.
Yeah, yeah, different.
The skills over on
It is getting quite late.
Hmm? No, it's only 8:30.
Old Rob says the skills overlap with a yawn in the middle.
Oh. Maybe we should get some sleep.
Oh, I'm not tired.
It's been a couple hours since the sun went down.
Best trust, dig out some of those bedding supplies and get to sleep on the floor again.
You don't have to sleep on the floor. We can move a few of these.
In one of the crates, there are... There are some pretty plush bedrolls and some pillows and some padding that goes under the bedrolls. And, you know, it's not fantastic, but apparently the previous owner of this tower was used to going out on trips like this. So you can sleep in relative comfort. And I'm going to suggest that the wood is probably more comfortable than the stone.
Yeah. I'm going to move over here, where there's, like, little lights.
The climate control inside the tower is still on, so it is still, regardless of the ceiling of the staircase being open, regardless of how cold it is outside, it is still, I mean, it's a comfortable temperature inside.
Oh, that's good.
Worst comes to worst, we can close the door onto the outside if we need to, I assume.
Just put all those stones back up in the ceiling.
Well, if there's a door.
Nope. You took all the stones out of the ceiling to make a vent for the fire.
Oh, whoops.
Made out of a the door. Ceiling, I should clarify, the main body of this floor of the tower is still roofed.
Okay.
What you did was unbury the staircase in the center. So that the smoke from the fire could escape.
I'm a little surprised. Just want to check, is there any water damage, like where rain came down through and, you know...
No.
Huh.
That ceiling is remarkably sturdy. This is as perfectly preserved as you could possibly ask for it.
I think magic happened.
The only... problem that you have seen is that the glue on the stickers on the shelf labels has fallen off.
That is weird.
It's possible it wasn't magic glue.
Let's spend half an hour talking about the magic glue.
Okay.
Let's not. I'm going to make talking, not a little...
So...
I'm going to make a little nest over here.
Okay.
Push several
at this point,
sized crates together to make a bed.
Devin, you know this. Old Rob, you kind of know this. This is like, you're being reminded of this. I am going to let you know of the pre-war intelligent species of this planet. They were the humans, who you know. The Felta, to whom that have been described to you. The grooves, singular groove, were short, thickly built, had no hair on their bodies, and tended to live either around mountains or near the sea. The sky, singular sky, were tall, thin but not willowy, if you know what I mean. Like they have muscles.
Wiry.
Yeah. And they weirdly lived in forests and deserts. The Tuwati, singular Tuwat, lived in the desert. They and the sky had an uneasy truce. You've met the Ugogs, mm-hmm. singular Ugog. You've heard about the Giona, singular Giona. And the last intelligent species is the Sari, singular Sar. And yes, that S is extended. It's Sari, not Sari.
Okay, who, I realized you said sorry, not sorry.
Yes.
And I know that's not what you meant, but that's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Who tended to live underground and in caves near the bases of mountain ranges. Of the ones you haven't met, the grooves, like I said, were short and thickly built and had no hair.
And they liked
The sky were tall. Yes. The sky were tall and well-muscled, but not, like, built. And had a wide variety of skin tones and hair colors. The Tuwati were taller than the sky and built. Like, thickly built. The Tuwati were huge. And they had fangs, not fangs, but like short tusks coming from their bottom jaws. The Giona were kind of reptilian, like humanoid, but reptilian. They had reptilian features. They had a variety of skin colors. They had long snouts. And they had teeth that overhung their lower jaws on the upper jaw, and claws and short tails. The Sari actually came in two shapes, and both of them insisted that they were both Sari. One of them was strictly humanoid, except they had tails and they had scales and looked like lizards. And the other were humanoid from the waist up and snakes from the waist down.
Yuan Ti.
There aren't Naga. Yeah, there aren't two words. Like they considered themselves all one race, and you're not quite sure how that worked.
You know what? Mm-hmm. People who are familiar with D&D lore are still not 100% sure how Yuan Ti work. So there's that.
Yes.
I mean, then there's the thing that they did with, I'm blanking on the term. You have coins you want wares.
Khajiit.
Khajiit. Yes, Khajiit. Give. You're right. where, yeah, if I recall, it depends on the phase of the moon they're born, whether they're house cats, giant cats, humanoid, etc.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's possible.
The question is, are they a ring species?
Can I correct you real quick on your naming there, Beth?
Okay. I was just going by the
Yeah, yeah. That's fine.
Just ask you how I spell all of the Star Wars names if I haven't ever seen them spelled.
I would prefer not to think about it.
I like my umlauts.
Oh, we can keep the umlaut if you want.
I like the umlaut.
Yeah. Groove is fine. Groove.
Groove.
I will. I mean, the whole point of, like, half of the fun of this campaign is you guys contributing to it. So
we can argue spellings are accurate. They got simplified over the 500 years as culture changed and people wrote things different.
Yeah, I was going to say they used a different alphabet back then.
It's all transliteration.
So anyway,
I feel very pleased that I got as close as I did. And the only reason I did two E's instead of an I is because, you know, we own it.
Yeah, oh, that's fine. I'm pleased that I pronounced them well enough that you could.
Also, I've been pronouncing Lugog
that you could get the those.
Entire time.
Ah, well.
Well, spelling them wrong.
Also, fun fact, all of these have, I didn't make any of these up. All of them have roots in other languages.
They're all
other people. Earth languages. Yes, yes, they are. Anyway, you go to sleep and dream of better days.
Sleep.
And when you wake up, dun dun dun, everything's exactly the same as you left it.
Well, that's fine.
Who could have done this?
I'd be concerned otherwise.
The Atlas is right where you left it. Everything else in the room is right where you left it. The door downstairs is still closed. And there's something that is nagging at your mind, but you can't think of what it is. Are you going to cook breakfast?
Well, just got to see what we got here.
I have bread.
Am I forgetting something? I feel like I'm forgetting something.
You do have bread. You have those bread bricks.
Mm-hmm. Let's cook up the leftovers. See how the bread brick we left out all night does. I mean, I hope we wrapped it back up again, but you know.
You did. It's sitting on a shelf. It's exactly as you left it.
And if you take a pinch of it, then it's not a.
It's delicious.
Good stuff. And satisfies hunger real well still.
Old Rob's going to take a moment to look out the windows.
Okay. Hang on. I've got a. Remember where I put the windows?
Hopefully with the walls. Those go together.
Yes.
I think you put one of the windows over. Yep, that's about the right place. Yep. Does the outer stairwell there have any windows in the outer era? Okay.
No, these are the only windows in the tower, as far as you can tell. To the northwest, you see the barrows. And they are barrows. There's shadows on them because they're below the tunnel. Uh-huh. To the northeast and southeast, you see the rising sun. From various angles, of course. And to the southwest, you see, basically plains with some trees scattered around.
Maybe a helicopter.
I was just thinking that.
There's nothing there that would arouse your interest.
What's the weather like?
It is a bright, sunny day.
It's horrible.
There's supposed to be a forest around here.
Who's cooking breakfast?
I presume Carisenda. She's got the housekeeping, and I figure that includes at least a little bit of cooking.
The forest is that way from the... Or rather, that way. And so you can't actually see it from the windows.
Curses. The thing we want to keep an eye on.
Yes.
Discover if the trees are coming to the tower. No. Anyone of you here murder a king?
Cassinda.
Mm-hmm.
You're cooking breakfast?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm the one with skill for it.
The smoke goes up and out the open top of the ruined staircase.
Oh.
Where'd all the rocks go?
You took them out.
All of them? Okay.
I mean, they're not all gone, but you took out enough to
smoke.
It took some doing because you had to undo several layers of rockfall, but you did take out enough that the smoke can get out.
Yeah.
In fact, if you crane your neck just right, you can see the sky.
You see him.
Would you give me a roll, please?
I don't know. Let's do a roll. Is there anything that I have that would be useful for this roll?
I'm going to set the difficulty at 9, which you just made.
Uh-huh.
For the sake of the recording, as a reminder, to simplify the math, Ellie is telling us our target number and calling it the difficulty.
Yes.
But Cypher System true believers will say that it's difficulty 3.
Yeah. Now, you did some experimenting yesterday.
Uh-huh.
You and Adelina went down. And you discovered that anybody can open the doors from the inside.
Uh-huh.
You have to have one of the devices to get in if the doors are closed. But if the doors are open, anybody can get in.
Something flies that come in this topside, couldn't it?
You look up and you see an open sky above you.
Before I kindle up the flame, can I sidle around the fire?
Mm-hmm.
And climb up to the top?
Yeah, sure, you can squeeze through. It's not a huge hole, but a person could get through if they were willing to, you know, pinch themselves a little bit.
Or a Felta.
Felta could definitely get through. Ugog could absolutely get through.
I'm going to go over here. Do you want me to do it? Or do you want to do it?
I'm just wondering if anybody got in last night or could have got in last night while we were sleeping.
It is fairly easy to find that out.
Yeah, we just go down.
Are there any other footprints in the ashes where something might have walked through and left footprints?
No.
Okay, that's good.
I'm going downstairs to check the front door.
Okay, good plan.
The front door is closed, and as far as you can tell, has been since you came in. Not since you came inside, but since Kerosene and Adelina stopped their investigating.
Yeah.
Something could come in the top, though.
Well, we'll just chase it out.
Well, we're all gone.
We should figure out. We should figure out if the enchantment simply requires an enclosed space or if it requires the stone. We have rugs here. We could simply douse the fire, cover the exit with one of those, and see if people can come in the doors.
Would you like to experiment?
Let's make some experiments to see if we actually have a safe place or if somebody who climbs the outside of the tower could cause us a problem.
Okay. Who's going to sit outside and wait for the rug to be pressed against it?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish cooking.
Go ahead.
Off to the side so we can
right.
Go over the fire now and then, make a little real small fire.
Yeah, so I will go down to the front level and go out the door.
Oh, no. For this one, I think you have to climb up the top and then...
up? Okay, so we're not talking about the door to the tower. We're talking about we are?
As far as you can tell, the door to the tower still works. However, you opened a hole in what's essentially the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
Our chimney may be an tactical liability.
For the smoke could be an ingress for others.
Yeah.
So what they want you to do is climb out of that hole.
Okay.
And then when they fasten a rug over it, see if you can climb back in.
Okay. So I'll go up the stairs to wherever that goes and close the door behind me.
Okay. Get a nice view, hopefully.
There isn't really a door, but you can climb out onto the roof, and it is a gorgeous day. And nice. You can see that everything around you is pretty much where you left it. You know, not all of it is going to be where you left it because it's a living environment.
Mm-hmm.
But not like a... There aren't ants. But
okay.
The forest ain't moved in the night, has it?
Nope.
There's a herd of sheep in the distance that has moved like 100 yards.
One of them is larger than the others.
Yes.
A small kobold right at the top of it.
Okay, so you're going to staple one of the rugs to the hole in the vent hole.
The vent hole? Okay, yeah, I can do that. I'm sure there was a stapler
No, the folks inside are going to do that.
Oh, they're going to do that. Okay. Yeah. All right, I'll wait here.
The intent is to see if you can get back in once they've stapled the rug to it. Like, does creating the surface to seal the hole make the buzzy feeling come back?
Hmm. Okay.
If you touch the rug once it's sealing the hole.
Okay. Probably hanging it over where the door would be normally into the...
Right.
Yeah. All right. Do I roll something for this? Or?
Nope. I can tell you that you feel nothing when you touch the rug.
Okay.
She felt nothing before. Right. Can she push it aside, though?
I can try.
Push it aside without trivial effort.
Okay.
Yeah. We need somebody else to check the buzzy. And he felt it could come in now.
Oh, no.
She didn't feel the buzzy before.
This is data because she couldn't open the door before.
Well, that's true, but that door was magically sealed.
That's true.
Devin, we need to make a new door. It needs to have a magic lock on it.
Or you could just put the stones back.
We could just put the stones back.
This tower is already a circle. Is it green?
No.
That's my GM intrusion for the evening.
There you go.
Can just put the stones back.
Yeah, just put the stones back. Why not?
Shove them back in there so that the smoke can get out enough, but at least seep out of there enough so it doesn't backwash and hopefully nobody else is getting in.
I was going to say maybe make that the last thing you do before you leave.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yes.
Yep. Put the rocks back, stones back, whatever. Same.
Make sure that the fire is properly banked, put a whole bunch of ashes so that if anything walks through, they can't just avoid the getting ash on their boots, and then shove crates in front of whatever we've got for a pseudo door inside.
We could probably move some crates up here.
Basically barricade it as much as we can, and also make sure that if anything comes through, they're going to get ash on their feet, so we'll at least know if something's come through.
Mm-hmm.
By all means.
All right.
Pack everything up. Get back up that adventurer's sack.
Mm-hmm.
Put a few of those bread things in. Leave the rest here.
Make sure the water skins are filled.
Yeah.
I just realized I don't think I ever actually... I'm not sure I actually got an answer. Karasinda, are you making a point to study the Atlas?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially the local area.
Checking.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she did that probably last night. Especially the local area and things just outside the magic area and, well.
All right.
Anything that looked cool.
Are you saying that earlier you asked if Karasinda was studying the Atlas and you got a shrug?
No, I got a... Yeah, well.
We got into discussion of questions of stuff and then got into the species and, well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. You've had a good night's sleep. You have sealed up the hole that you made in the roof, such as it is, of the staircase. And Adelina, you know what you're doing. This is pretty solid.
Yeah, pretty easy. It'll stack. It'll be fine.
Devin, you have collected as many books as you can for later research.
Yes, I have.
Karasinda, you have collected quite a bit of food, including those bread bricks.
Leave some here. Might have to retreat to here.
Mm-hmm. Old Rob, what are you taking with you?
Initially, I found that book that helped to explain... Ah! The map moved. Yes, the map. The lamp.
I did not mean it to.
No, that was Beth. It's... Anytime anyone talks with the chat box in Foundry, it zooms in on the character talking.
Oh, yeah.
It freaks at least one person out every single time. Usually it's me typing, freaking somebody else out. Like, the map moved and I was trying to do a thing to my character. Why did you do that? Like, sorry.
There are enough lamps that each of you can take one and still leave some here.
Okay.
Rob, sorry. I did not mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, it's fine. You can blame Beth. So initially, old Rob found that one book that explained that the lamp was probably not a bomb. That is the one book that old Rob is going to take with him. But if he can find some blank pieces of paper and maybe some writing implements, he's going to make some crude representations of pages in the map book, trying to not leave any ink stains on things that shouldn't have ink stains. Because Devin may murder him to death. also, like, not every map, because that's too much, but a map of here is all over the world, and there's like a little X where this is where we are, but nothing else is labeled except maybe dots where old Rob thinks there might be a place that had people. And if there's a larger map of, and here's where you are now, old Rob will probably try to make one copy of that as well, noting differences between what old Rob knows to be the world as we know it and the world as it was before everything went to heck.
Adelina, are you taking anything with you?
I'm going to pick up one of those lamps. Take that with me.
Besides the lamp.
I love lamp.
I don't know what else you would take, really.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you can find stone anywhere, you know. Yeah. She's got tinder and flint and all this other stuff if we have to do something, so. All
right.
Makeshift forge, sort of. She's all
fair there. Enough.
Mm-hmm.
The character with the highest strength is the lowest encumbrance.
Yep.
Yep. Devin, one of the books that you took with you is, you don't actually know what it is, but it has, so on, to double check something, the even pages, so when you open it up, it's the left-hand side. It has the language that you have seen in many of these books, and the language that's in the Atlas.
On the right-hand side.
And on the right-hand pages is a language you've never seen before. It's obviously a language, but you can't tell where maybe it's a language, maybe it's an alphabet, maybe it's a syllabary, maybe it's an, what do you call the thing?
A cipher?
No, it's, there's a word for, I gotta look it up.
A similarium.
An abjad. It may be an abjad, it may be an abugida. You don't know.
These are words I say but when I'm fascinating. Mess up what I'm trying to say. I'm learning new words.
Yeah, I know. An abjad only represents consonants. So like Hebrew.
I just Googled it and I'm so thrilled I spelled it right.
An abugida is a syllabary like Japanese.
So each letter is actually representing a syllable.
Right. But yeah, so you have basically a book that's, as far as you can tell, the same thing in two different languages.
Neither of which we know.
Neither of which you know. But one of which you have seen elsewhere.
What's this say? Lore?
Well, if I can decipher that one. We just need the dictionary that does that one into a language we do understand.
Right.
This is
a potential Rosetta Stone.
If we can only find the first pipe key of it.
If you can find the first key. So you've sealed up the hole in the roof. You've gathered your stuff. And you've put out the fire. And you're heading downstairs.
All right.
You each have a device now that can let you back into the tower.
Mm-hmm.
Do you test this?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. You each have a device now that will let you back into the tower.
I test to make sure I can still transmit by putting my hand on someone's shoulder.
I'm going to kick you in your ankles. Actually, that's a good question. If I'm holding the device, can I get zapped when he does that thing?
Yes. Yeah, it's just that this wizard apparently made basically anything in that shape. But you can't tell whether all the stuff, all of the artifacts that he made take that shape, or whether anything in that shape opens the door. And you kind of, like, it would be difficult to figure out. But
we need
anyway.
A diary.
You can all go in, and you can all come back out. The door opens fine from the outside, from the inside. You don't have to worry about that.
That's good.
You can always get out of the tower. You can check in anytime you like, but you can never enter unless you have one of the devices.
We can check out anytime we want. And we can never leave.
I think I remember that you're heading down into the barrows to enter that tunnel.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Devin, sadly, that dark sight cipher has worn off.
Yep, and I have archived it.
Okay. If only we had lamps.
So yeah, you've all got your light sources. You can head down into the tunnels, and it's dark and clammy and kind of creepy. It's kind of more creepy now that the townspeople aren't there somehow.
Those tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
The Ugogs dug up.
Yes.
Were they Ugog-sized tunnels?
They are. You have to duck your head, but you don't have to crawl.
Does Adelina have to duck her head?
Probably not.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Helps if you have a natural slouch.
You want it?
But there weren't no way. Sky coming through here.
Mm-hmm. Probably not.
No sky. You can't see up.
I'm gonna smack you, you whippersnapper.
Unless they were bent down all the way. No, there were no sky coming through here.
You're not going to be able to swing that walking stick.
These are, in fact, well.
Don't snag your antlers, Devin.
Devin, your antlers just barely don't touch the ceiling.
How tall is Devin again?
Not very.
Ah, okay.
In fact, Devin is about Kiona height. And that's where we're going to end it.
All right.
But before we go, here's something you didn't see. So, we both know that we can't talk to the queen about this. So what are we supposed to do? Well, it's not like we don't know other people. Good night, everybody. Does anybody have anything they want to plug?
Oh.
12
Eos blood. Mom writes books.
I do have that on good authority.
Indeed, at elizabethmccoy.com. And I don't know if the newest one is there, but I feel it's sort of vaguely thematic or appropriate or something, that I did do a version of Pride and Prejudice, which is Per Ride and Prejudice,
mm-hmm.
which certain most of the characters are very, you know, about human-sized house cats who walk around in clothes, but they need their human servants because human servants have thumbs and they don't. Then other than that, the words are basically the same with few adjustments. Yeah. But if you want to read Pride and Prejudice and you think it's a little bit boring, I have it under good authority that it's actually hilarious if you turn most of the characters into giant cats. And Bingley is orange because, well, orange cats. And
Yeah,
Darcy's Abyssinian. And our main character, you know, she's a tortoise shell, you know, it works out. It works out. Mm-hmm. So,
and speaking of books,
my website is bookofgen.net. It's got a bunch of stuff on it, including book reviews at the top, which I don't know why I didn't immediately put those at the top of the site when I started, but there they are. There's a lot of video game stuff and whatever else I can, you know, whatever else I feel like putting on there. And so that's at bookofgen.net. I'm also the host of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, which basically focuses on the games made by Blizzard, Activision, King, that has been taken over by Microsoft. And when there's anything new, I tend to put it into the next show, which usually comes out on Saturdays.
Bobby Kotick is gone. I hope they let the door hit him on the way out, because then he would have been hit by a door.
I really want to suggest that the book reviews be called Book of Someone Else.
I mean...
And while I've made Crash laugh, speaking of websites...
I only put very serious stuff on AaronBSmith.com, especially AaronBSmith.com/cogwheel, where we place all of these recorded actual play TTRPG games that we do, including, of course, this Cypher System campaign, but also a GURPS campaign that Beth is running, and a couple D&D campaigns that are being slipshod run over by the players. Because reasons. Because that's actually how every TTRPG goes. Yes. And you can subscribe to each of those with their own RSS feed, or subscribe to one RSS feed to rule them all. And if you really enjoy it, share it with a friend. Spread the word. Word of mouth is fantastic. And if you decide you want to throw money at us, give us our heads up so we can put safety goggles on. But then, go to patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, and you can listen to all of the episodes that have been recorded and edited but haven't yet gone live, because I'm not putting that many episodes live per week. This is too much. I need time to edit.
Yeah, Give me time to edit.
The school year is still in session at the time we're recording this. I just told my students about the finals today.
Oh my.
Yeah, our final is actually not that bad, thank goodness, because of, well, never mind. That's another side story. But patreon.com/cogwheelgaming will allow you to help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshan, Walter, and patron emeritus Cindy.
And until next time, this is Ellie saying, from personal experience, if someone tells you their pronouns are she, her, don't call them he, him, because their voice is very deep. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Oh, dear.
Can I bite someone for you?
Three times today.